Hey everybody, it's Jeremy Roenick on Snipes and Stripes with my good buddy Tim Peel on nofilter.net. And I know it's not Wednesday, it's not Thursday, it's actually Friday, but we have an awesome guest that Peelzy introduced me to on the internet, on my favorite place to go, Instagram. And it's all about hockey usually, but we have to go a little bit different direction. Peelzy, good to see you, buddy. I love this little special edition of Snipes and Stripes. We're going to have a little fun today. Ian Bagg, a little Canadian comedian. And I love how that rolls off my tongue. Canadian comedian. Boy, is this guy special. How'd you find him?
Just became quasi friends, I guess, on Instagram. I follow him. I think he's one of the funniest, if not my favorite comedian. Right now, the guy is just, he's so hilarious. For anybody that hasn't, I think all my friends know who Ian Bagg is. And I just messaged him back last year during the playoffs, and we just started talking hockey. And, you know, he's a Canadian guy. He grew up in Terrace.
Of course, the Canadian guys are going to be the good ones, the nice ones, the responsive ones, the ones that want to talk hockey, right? They're going to respond to a Hall of Fame referee for sure. There's no question about it.
So no, I'm pumped, buddy. This is going to be a lot of fun. This guy.
Well, listen, I should have a disclaimer. I am sure that there are going to be some F-bombs, some swears in this episode. We try to keep it PG-13, but sometimes we just cannot help it. As we saw a couple weeks ago when we had Knuckles Nyland on, he loved to throw the F-bomb out there. And I'm sure the F-bomb is going to be thrown around a few times with Mr. Ian Bagg. If you haven't watched his clips, they are amazing. They are fun. He's a hockey fan, and he also loves people. Obviously, he has to love people because he stands in front of them and makes them laugh all the time. We're going to bring him on and have some fun with Ian. This should be a lot of fun. But again, if you're offended with swears, turn off right now and go clip your toenails or something, because this is not for you. So there he is.
Hey, boys.
Look at that face that jumps on. Like, you talk about being excited about doing a podcast, a lowly podcast like ours. Ian, good to see you, man. We really appreciate you jumping on with us. What a pleasure.
Thanks for having me, guys. I was like, oh, you guys want me on? I'm always concerned when a referee wants to talk to you. You know, I mean, like, I'm like, oh, God.
Hey, better the referee than my wife, that's for sure. There's no question about
that. That's funny.
Yeah.
I love that. Guys, I'm going to ask before we go any further. I'm getting a little bit of it's kind of like roboting. Are you guys getting that roboting at all, just out of curiosity?
Nope.
All right, then I'll just keep going with it. I'll just pretend you guys are robots. You guys,
hey, you can pretend we're anything. I love, you know, I obviously just got introduced to you through Tim, so I've watched all your reels and been laughing my ass off for the last 24 hours.
Nice.
You know, it's you seem to have a lot of fun on stage with people. Are you a people person, or you just love having fun and being a comic?
Yeah, I just love it. I don't know how to explain it. I feel really lucky with what I get to do. You know, I'm just a dumb kid from Terrace, British Columbia. It started out, my parents were funny people. I played hockey. I grew up in a time where we didn't have the internet or phones and stuff like that. We had that baseball game that was just three dots or something like that. And the batteries would go dead immediately. So then we needed something to do. And we just talked, and we just, you know, make each other laugh. And I turned out to be, I guess, the one that followed it. Everybody else got real jobs selling cars.
Well, Ian, first of all, thanks for coming on. I think you have a show tonight. You're on the East Coast.
Yeah, I'm in Lexington, Kentucky. Yes, show business.
Well, I was that stalker, JR, about a year ago or 6 months ago. I text Ian and I just said, hey, I'm a big fan. And I just think you're one of the funny, you're my favorite guy right now. I show my wife every day. She's like, are you obsessed with this guy? And so I sincerely appreciate you, first of all, messaging me back and coming on the show. You mentioned that you were from Terrace and you grew up with Jeff Sharples, right?
Yeah, Jeff Sharples, a couple years older than me. His mom and my mom worked together, and we just kind of I followed him, and yeah, and then he actually ended up in Las Vegas,
Right.
After retiring, where he actually flies planes for a big organization. I won't say it so he doesn't get in trouble. A big organization, and
He's a
yeah,
pilot
and
now.
what's that? I'm sorry.
He's a pilot now.
He's a pilot now, and recently, within the last year, just started doing. He does a pregame for the Knights, so he's having a great time. So
Good for
yeah,
him.
it's pretty. Yeah, he's doing great. And then we had doing a podcast as well, just talking hockey and talking travel and talking skating.
I remember Jeff
You're
slightly. I remember him slightly. I know the name is obviously something that sticks in your mind, right? I mean, Sharples. I mean, how can you forget a name like Jeff Sharples? And I think the one thing I remember about him is he got his ass kicked by Cam Russell or one of my
Probably.
guys. Yeah, one of my guys on Chicago got his ass whooped, and it was like, I mean, he didn't have a long career, but it's memorable.
He didn't have a long career, but his first season he broke a bunch of records with the Wings, and they were just recently broken by Sider. So his name was back in the news. But I can't wait to bring up him and getting his ass kicked, because I know he's just gonna
I,
look at
by the
me.
way, I didn't do it, but somebody else did it. Not me.
That's
No, not at
awesome.
the time.
You guys, you got to have him on this and let him know. You got to take that you got to take that ego back in check.
Listen, I should just make it up. I just was making it up that I kicked his ass. I gave him, you know,
Yeah.
it was a.
Do you remember that? Remember that time I dropped you, Jeff?
Yeah.
Probably not, because you got some TTE going on. All right, bro.
Hey, so I love comedians. I'm a big fan. I go to a lot of shows. I've been to the Comedy Stop a bunch of times in LA, obviously here, the Laugh Factory here in Chicago. It's such a great atmosphere. It's a lot of fun. I look forward to going in, but I always have a panic and fear that the comedian's going to see me, point me out, and then start having some fun. It seems that is your shtick. I know you have a few jokes that you write that you kind of get everybody going, which, by the way, are priceless and so they're so witty. But is your set more fan reaction or the audience reaction, so you can go after them, or do you have set jokes that you get ready for?
Well, I have, as you said, I do have written pieces that I try to do, and I just use them as kind of like checkpoints throughout my show, so I know where I am for time. But as we talked about earlier, just growing up on the bus and talking to guys, I kind of have a conversation. That's my show's more of a conversation than a speech. And it's not that I'm going after people, but I like to bring people in and have them become characters in my show. So at the end, we remember everybody, you know.
Well,
After an
you
hour, I'm
definitely
just
hit
like,
buttons. You definitely hit buttons with certain people. It's
"Oh, yeah."
fantastic. I absolutely love it.
It's not for the weak. It's not, and the funny part is, you know, people, nobody's a victim in my show. If anybody's a victim, it's me. It's just about having fun. I want people to come in and just escape for an hour with me. You know, no matter what problems you got, you don't think about it for an hour because you're too busy. The show's moving too quick. It's offside most of the time. You're trying to bring it back and get it back onside, but it's never going to be onside. It's offside. It's moving quick. There's characters in the show. You don't know what's happening next. You don't know where it's going, and you don't have time for whatever is bothering you. You know what I mean? So, and funny part about it is, if people are dumb, they get left behind, and that's who usually freaks out at my show, is
By the
the
way,
dumb people,
that's
right?
90% of the community.
So
Kidding
10%
me?
enjoy me. That's great.
Well, that's what I'm most amazed at is that, you know, there's some comedians, they know exactly what there's no fan interaction. They get up there, they tell their jokes, they've got their routines. But you'll ask somebody, "Hey, what do you do for a living?" I'm in the HVAC business. And somehow you all of a sudden make a joke, and I don't know how you do it. It's like, was your comedy always like that?
Yeah, from the first time I went on stage, I had written all the jokes in my hand the first time I went on stage, and I was so nervous I sweated them off. So I had nothing. I was just like, "Oh!" So I basically started talking to the crowd right away. But it's grown over the years. When I first started out, I don't like saying how long ago I started out because I'm old. But when I first started, I started out with a guy named Mitch Hedberg. We were very one-liner, very slow-paced. And over the years, I became more me, right? I was probably influenced by Stephen Wright at the time, and it was like that. But over the years, it became this little bit more me, little bit more me. And now it's just kind of the whole thing is just,
Even Stephen Wright, kind of that dry comedian, right?
Like just
Yeah.
like very dry, no facial expressions, just
Right.
but just funny, funny, funny. And so is Hedberg. Hedberg was funny, funny, so funny, right? But it's I'm just I'm different. I'm my brain's pinball. It's all over the place.
So I got to ask you this because I got caught in the woke culture. The woke cu
Yes.
the woke cu culture caught me. It didn't beat me, but it caught me. And those fucking asshole woke people definitely did their best to try to cancel me out. It didn't work, like
Yeah.
I said. So, but in comedy, people are so weak mentally these days. And obviously, you can't say anything. And there was a time when, if you did say anything, the woke would come after you and try to cancel you. Was it? How did you survive the woke
It's
years in terms of?
funny, Jeremy, with all that goes on. So, doing comedy as long as I've had, I've seen, when I first started out, nobody no the it was a speakeasy. The comedy club was a speakeasy. Nobody recorded there. You went in, the crowd was the judge and jury. If you were funny, they laughed. If you weren't, they didn't laugh. If you were too far, they booed you. You know what I mean? It was all done then. Nobody's career was canceled, right? So I've been dealing with it from the beginning, and then it changed. But when you talk about the woke culture, the problem with being here and being there and being woke, there's also this thing called the corporate culture, and we forget about the corporate culture. And the corporate culture will cancel you before the woke culture will, right?
Well,
They see a little bit.
my
They
cancellation was the woke corporate culture.
woke, but because, oh, Jeremy said something, it was offside, he's gonna cost us money. There's that middle management that's fucking just trying to survive that really does nothing. You know what I mean? So and these people over here, these woke people push, hey, he shouldn't do that. Instead of, I don't believe they're saying get rid of him. I say that, hey, he shouldn't do that. Have a talk with him. But these people here, oh, I don't know what I fucking do. And they cancel people. That's what happens. You know what I mean? And so it's, and I do I think we should be, I love being talked to. I love having a referee calm that down. You know what I mean? I love that. But somehow I was able to survive. Somehow, I don't know, more because my career was, and I'm sorry, I wasn't supposed to say that word because this is a PG-13 and people are going to call in and I'm going to get canceled.
Well, that, listen, I'm watching one of your skits, and one of your skits, you go, sorry about that tard over there. I'm like, that's fantastic, right? Those, I mean, those,
Yeah.
but you couldn't say that 6 years ago, 5 years ago. You say that 5 years
No.
ago, it's like somebody's your inbox is gonna fill up with hate mail.
People just people, some people, I hate the people that are offended for people. The people, like, they're offended for the people that you think would be offended, but they're not offended. But these people are offended for them. Those
Right.
are the pain in the ass, right? Fuck, I just hate those people. Those people need a punch in the head every so often, right? Just shut up. Anyways, but by the way, I don't know where I was on before I swore, but what I'm saying was, I was able to weave my way through because it was there from the beginning. Like the shitty part about you was you were you. They hired you because you were you, right? And then when you were you, they're like, oh, like, I'm just like, what the f-? And it's fucking, it drives me insane that what you dealt with, and I watch you deal with it, and I'm just like,
Thank you.
and I was like, it's just stupid. And you know what the weird part about it is it's all from Spittin' Chiclets, right? When you went on Spittin' Chiclets,
That's it.
and they've changed the culture of the game,
Right.
of the way it's said. But you were the victim of the way the game changed. Like, it's crazy. It's
Yep.
like.
Hey, listen, I'll sacrifice myself for the better of comedy, for the better of real conversation, of true thoughts,
Entertainment.
entertainment. 100%. I think that people need that. You are a perfect
Yes.
example of why people go to the comedy club to get away from the bullshit, right? To get away from the stuff. That's what they need. They need a smile on their face, and they need to be in a place that's not the same all the time that they're at, which is why I love what you do. It's fantastic.
So I guess the segue to JR's question, that was a good question, JR. You usually don't ask that many good questions, so I'll give you a
that was a good I love one. It. Take him down.
But
by the way, he's not Jeremy Roenick. He's Jesus Roenick.
Jesus Roenick. I'll take it.
So, Jesus Roenick. So I'm sure you heard that a lot playing. Jesus
yeah, but you, yeah, yeah. Usually it's in the negative connotation. Jesus Roenick. Jesus Roenick.
So how do you handle the hecklers and like if you get a tough crowd, like how do you handle those assholes some nights that like do you just attack them or do you ignore them or what do you do in those situations, Ian?
You know what's interesting? If somebody doesn't want to be there, I just help them leave, right?
That's like, great.
There's no point. There's no if you don't want to be here. I can't help it. But if you want to play with me, I'm never going to say, you got to get out of here. Or you like my show's there to play. We're there to play. But there's every so often there's a person that comes in and you're just like, hey, I'm here to make people happy. You don't want to be happy. Go find what makes you happy. It's like going into a donut shop and being mad there's donuts. How dare you joke? You know,
there has to be a story or somebody that just jumps off the page at somebody that really took offense to what you were saying. There's got to be a couple that stick to mind.
There's my favorite story. Here's my favorite story of somebody that hated me. So I'm in Cincinnati, Ohio, and there I'm doing a show and it's going good, but I'm looking at this. There's first of all, explain. There's tall tables at the front on the sides, really tall tables and cement floors, right? And this lady fell. I don't know if she had a seizure or whatever. She fell and hit her head. And you could hear it smack on the ground. It was gross. But I'm on stage and I got to deal with it. You know, so I'm just like, hey, that lady needs help. I go, is there a nurse or a doctor? Anybody can help her? Nobody says anything, right? Nobody. I'm just like, oh, okay, well, here we go. So the staff kind of helps her. But I continue on because I'm trying to take attention away from her. Sure. Right, she's dealing with it, and they end up just kind of picking her up and taking her out. It's like it's World War One, you know, when you see those fast moving movies, just pick her up and carry her out, and we continue the show. And there's this guy at the front, and he gets fired up. He stands up. You're an asshole. How dare you just keep going and not care about that lady? And he jumps on stage.
No.
And right. And I'm 6'4", 270. And and he thinks he's like 5'7", thinks he's a tough guy. And I just pick him up and I throw him off the stage, right? Just pick him up, throw him down. And he's all, and I'm like, you don't come on my stage, you piece of shit, right? Like, I get him kicked out. And this all happens quicker than he thinks it's going to happen. He forgets his car keys, right? And I see him come back in after they kicked him out. I'm like, what are you doing? I forgot my keys. We'll find him and we'll give them to you afterwards, right? There's a table next to him. I'm like, is his keys there? Like, yeah, give them to me. BMW keys, right? They don't tell them, we didn't find your keys. I just walk out the back door. There's a river right in the back.
Oh, that's fantastic. What a way. You win.
I was like, I'll figure out a way to win. I don't care.
Hey, but, Ian, tell us about, because we're the same age. I'm 58. You're 55, I think, 56. And
55.
JR is about the same, and you grew up in a small town in Terrace. Tell us about your illustrious hockey career.
Yes, my goodness. I played hockey. Every so often I'd make the rep team, and then I'd get dumped and then back down to host league and play B league. And let me just tell you, I'm pretty sure I was the only kid that didn't get molested on our team.
I thought you got to play center.
I lied. Oh. I'm more than one of the other guys. I used to, you know, it was back. I love, you know, And Peely, your kids play hockey, so you travel every weekend and you see how it's changed. Like when we were playing hockey as kids, we got the guy that was trying to that was our coach that was trying to sleep with Kirk Olesheski's mom because she was single. So he turns out to be our coach. He's a hammerhead. He's just drunk the whole time, and he's got to get his buddy to drive the bus for us because he's sober, right? That's how we grew up playing hockey.
Right.
You know, like it was in the middle of nowhere. Guys just coming into a small town, logging for a couple of weeks. I'll coach him. Come on, Mrs. Olesheski. Give me. I get Tuesdays and Thursdays with you, and your kid gets Wednesdays, Mondays, and Saturdays. But it's just changed so much. But I love growing up. But I'm a donkey. I love, like, hockey's been there for me throughout my career and throughout my life. You know, like when I moved to New York, I took my gear with me. I had my gear and a pair, you know, some clothes. You know, like not many clothes. My first time I did Conan O'Brien. My best clothes were a pair of shorts and a logging shirt, you know. But I had my hockey equipment with me.
Right.
So I coached hockey when I was in New York. I coached hockey when I first moved to LA. You know, it was funny because when we moved down here, they're like, "How much do you want to work here?" And I'm like, "I don't want to work here. I just want to volunteer. I have time to give away, and the game has treated me so well. I want it to treat these kids. You know, I want it to treat these kids so well and be part of their lives, because, you know, whether you end up Jeremy Roenick or you end up Ian Bagg or you end up Tim, it's hockey's a wonderful life, right?
Yeah, it is.
So and it's just a group of people. It's not just men. It's or guys. It's a group of people that surround you, that help you when you need to be helped, that are there for you when you're down. You know, they're there for you when you succeed. They love. There's nothing better than the hockey group that's there for you when you succeed and just pats you on the back. It's fantastic. So hockey's always been there for me. And it's just the greatest game ever. Even though I was a donkey, you know.
So listen, you're a BC guy, but you moved around a lot. Are you a Vancouver guy, or who's your team that you follow?
I follow anybody that gives me free swag. I tell you what, I'll wear stripes if Tim gives me stripes. I don't give a shit. If it's free, it's for me. But my original team's Vancouver, of course. So I don't know if I'll ever see a win again out of those guys, but who knows? Vancouver's always been, you know. I grew up in British Columbia. You know, that's our team. We grew up when we got Jim Robson on the radio. We listened to him on TV. We got the Canucks. Somehow, some of my friends became Oilers fans. I have no idea how that worked. I don't know if they had uncles or relatives out there, but I'm just like, what the hell? Alberta? Come on,
yeah,
man. So,
I think Gretz had something to do with that, right? Gretz back in the day.
Yeah, probably. I think they seen how that team partied, and that's how they.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of that, how the hell? I wanted to say the F word, but how the hell is your country trying to take down Gretz because he's friends with Trump, or because he didn't wear a jersey? Like, seriously, you guys are the nicest people in the world, and you have the greatest representation of a sport in the world.
It's because Gretz can't.
And all of a sudden, you guys forgot what the fuck?
I think it was just the timing, right? With him yip yapping about Canada wanted to be the 51st state, and I'm not up there, so I don't, you know, I live in Long Beach, California. I'm totally against it when they say, "Oh, America and Canada are gonna become one country," and I'm like, "No, I paid for my green card. All my friends can pay for their green card as well. That is bullshit. They get it for free." So. But I think it was just timing and I don't know. I hate, my biggest thing about politics and politics being so wrestling, like WWE, like right now, is that it tries to, you have to pick a side, right? I hate that. I'm like, can't you just take it? I like a little bit of this. I like a little bit of that. Right. I want to see this. All right, we're going to vote for this and see how that works out. And then next time we'll try for that. You know what I mean? Like, I would love to see our people just like our politicians quit trying to cut us in the middle and telling us we need to make a decision, because we really don't. We just want good lives. That's all
Well,
we want.
it's because politicians are assholes and media are
Yeah.
flamethrowers, you know?
And Gretzky's a dick. I'm sure that's the only thing that'll come out of this, right? That's all you're gonna see. Did you hear what he said about Gretzky?
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, if you've got $5 million now, Ian, you can buy a green card. So.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
Oh
but
my
like
God.
again, you talk about Kretz. I never did you ever think that his record was going to be broken? Now Ovechkin's getting ready to break Kretz's record, which is like it's unfathomable that that record can.
The amount of goals that Ovechkin scored is just insane. It's just insane.
Yeah.
It's like, it's insane. It was insane when Gretzky scored that much, and it's insane that Ovechkin's the scorer. It's funny. We talked about cancellation before. Sather was on 32 Thoughts, and I was listening to him, and he was all fired up. They said, "What do you think about Ovechkin gonna beat Gretzky's record?" He goes, "I'm mad that a Russian's doing it." I was just like, "Oh my God, oh my God, he's gonna get taken out for sure somehow." I guess nobody listens to that podcast and nobody cares, but
Well,
it made me
listen,
laugh so
he
hard.
just said what everybody's thinking.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We're all like,
I
we're
mean,
fine if Connor McJesus does it, but if you oh, I'll let you Ovechkin. No. But how great, you know what the great part about it is? Loves the game. Like every time he scores, he just gets all boned up and skates around and gets even more excited. And I think that's no, it doesn't matter where you're from. If you love the game that much, that's your ambassador, right?
Yeah, it's funny that you say that because he does celebrate like it's his first goal every time he scores,
Every
right?
time.
And he does it with his teammates. Like he doesn't like go off into nowhere and do all the bullshit by himself. He gets
Yeah.
everybody in, and then they all celebrate together. He's a special
Yeah.
guy, man. He really is a special guy. And
Absolutely.
so this is gonna piss everybody off in Canada because, but I've done that before.
What?
I think I said this to you, Peelzy, on the show. I was talking to Gretz, and Gretz says he was talking to Donald. He says, "Listen, the best thing that can happen is when Ovi's getting ready to break my record on whatever game that is. If it's in Washington, you better be at the game. So it'll be me, you, and then you got to fix the Ukraine war, and then
Oh.
tell Putin he's got to come over, and so we'll have Putin, Trump, and Wayne Gretzky there to celebrate a Russian breaking my record. Holy shit, will
Oh,
that just blow newspaper people out of the water?"
you know what's great about that is Gretzky drinks so much. He's just like hammered one night. He goes, "I've got a way to figure out how to end this war."
Yep,
Just throws one back.
world peace through Wayne Gretzky.
And if he can get his whiskey there too, he's like, "If I can get my bottle of whiskey and a photo of Ovechkin, Trump, me, and Putin, oh my God, fantastic."
Well, speaking of that's funny because
He's so good.
speaking about being hammered, I'm talking to Darren Pang this morning, and Panger and I are dear friends and play a lot of golf together. And he goes, "I see you're having bag on." I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Do you remember when he did a bit at my roast in St. Louis years ago?" I go, "Actually, Panger, I don't fucking remember."
That's hysterical.
I had about three bottles of red in me that night. I don't remember, but he said that you performed at his roast.
I did, yeah. That's how I got to. I can't remember who invited me in.
Chase,
I think it was Pinky. You know Pinky from the Blues?
no.
Chris Pinkerton.
Oh yeah,
He
Chris.
he's a
Yeah.
yeah. So Corey Hirsch is a friend of mine, and he was working in St. Louis. And he brought a bunch of guys out to a show, and they became fans, or like we became friends, whatever you want to say. And they're like, "We're roasting Pang. You want to come in? Chaser's in charge. We're gonna have him reach out to you." So Chaser's like, "You want to do it?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'll do it." So I came in and just had a great time.
Easy
Pang, Chase.
pickings. That must
So
have been the easiest set you ever wrote for Panger.
it was. I didn't even talk about him. I'm like, "This guy's too easy. Giant head, little body."
So, JR, at this roast, you've got all these normal chairs and so on, and they had Panger up on one of these lifeguard chairs.
They had him. He was up. Rip. Oh, that's
That's
so funny.
awesome. That's
No, that,
perfect. Yeah, I.
Panger's a good man. He's
he's a great man.
he's fun, and he takes his golf game a little too serious, but
Yeah, that asshole beats me every time. He just,
Really?
yeah, he bumps it down 260 down the middle, knocks it on the green, and two putts. It's like he frustrates the hell out of me. I remember during the 2010 Olympics when it was Van, I mean, final. No, actually, it was the 2011. It was Boston, Vancouver. And so him and I were playing both cities, and it was like back to back, back to back. And he kept beating me, and I was so pissed. And I'm like, I'm never playing you again. You're giving me strokes the rest of the way. And goes, I'm just not playing you anymore then. I'm just not playing if I have to give you strokes. I said, you're such an asshole. And he frustrates the hell out of me.
You know why it is? You know what it is? Because he's so tiny, he has no back problems.
Well, I was on his team. I was on his team. Yeah, he's got a small back. I was on his team with the Blackhawks when his career ended. And literally,
No way.
Another guy from your ne neck of the woods, Wayne Van Dorp, who might be the nicest, one of the most sweetest, but one of the most goofy motherfuckers that you've ever seen in your life, right? And just one of my favorite teammates of all time. But he, not the brightest bulb on the Christmas tree, but everybody loved him because of what he did, and he was fun to be around. But Wayne Van Dorp is 6'6", 240, 50, 60 pounds, and he's in front of the net, and we're doing a power play in practice, and for some reason he's just in front of the net being a big screen for Panger. And next thing you know, boop, he falls backwards, and he's laying on top of Panger. You can't even see Panger. He's totally invisible. He's gone underneath him, and he gets up, and there's Panger spread, like flattened on the ice with his
Oh my
knee
God.
going the other way. Totally blew out his knee.
Is
And
that what ruined his knee?
yeah,
Is him
that's what ruined
falling
his knee.
down?
Wayne Van Dorp fell on him in the crease, and literally, and when I tell you couldn't even see him, you couldn't even see him. That's how big Van Swoop is, and how small Panger is. And he hurt, and it blew his knee out. So next thing you know, he goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, "Hey, this thing's pretty bad. We can either fix this thing, or we can," and that's the career. Take the
That's
insurance. Panger's like,
awesome.
I probably shouldn't be telling this story with Panger, but I'm sure he's telling it before. I don't think he's gonna get in trouble now, sitting in between the benches, talking smack on the ice like he does best in the game. But he's like, Doc, I'm done." Exit it. Let's go. Let's get the
Let's
insurance
do
money.
it.
Let's go to the booth.
I love him. I love him. And you know what's I'm sure Dorp gets a little like gets chirped every so often from an email that he doesn't recognize because we know Panger really knows how to hold a grudge.
It wasn't funny at the time, but it's funny now.
No.
And Pangers has some fun with it. I don't know if there's three better people in the world than Darren Pang in
Do you
terms of.
think Panger's made more money the way his career went than it was going?
100%. 100%.
Yeah, exactly. So
100%.
things work out for the best
Well,
always. You
I
have
think he
to.
was making 125 with the Hawks when he cut it loose. Probably got a
Right.
pretty good severance with insurance. But he's got to make some sick money doing what he does now. He probably makes more money now
Absolutely.
in 1 year than he made his whole NHL career.
Yeah, I
That's how
love
good he
that.
is. That's how good he is. He is the best in between the
He's so
benches.
good. He
Yeah.
is so
So
good.
listen,
Yeah.
all my buddies here and friends, and I got a text message from one of my wife's friends today, and she wants to know when are you coming back to St. Louis? How do you
We're trying.
set up? How do you set up your, Cincy here? I think you're. Were you just in Australia?
I'm headed to Australia in May. I'm headed over there.
So you like. You go all over the world now.
Yeah, I have for a couple years. I've been going. I went to Europe a couple years ago with Gabriel Iglesias.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys know.
Yeah.
They call him Fluffy.
Yeah.
He's like his following's massive, and we were playing like all the hockey arenas in Europe. And I was just like, oh man, I had dreams of playing this place, but never as a comedian. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, it was fantastic. But so we've been going around the world, but now it's my shows that are happening, and we're doing theaters and stuff like that. Not massive, 500 to 1,000 seats. And yeah, I think I'm gonna do 3 dates this year in like Ireland, Scotland, and London, in Britain. So that'll be good. And then next year it'll be even more. We got to go back up to Canada again, and start playing more up there. But I'm hoping for St. Louis in the fall sometime.
Okay.
So yeah.
So tell me, how does it work? You obviously have an agent that does a lot of stuff for you, that reaches out, that gets your gigs or whatever. But what's the ultimate goal? And the reason I say that is because I love the good-hearted stories, like the fun stories, like Sebastian Maniscalco, who started just doing, his TikToks or his Instagrams, and all of a sudden something hit and he becomes a global sensation, right? And he's doing 25,000 seats, arenas, and all that stuff. What's the goal, Ian? Where are we going?
You know what? I'll tell you. Like, so 3 years ago, during the pandemic, I was just like, my career sucks. And I was just like, it's good, like I've been living a good life and probably making the same amount of money as my friends that are working normal jobs and stuff. But I'm just like, I'm stuck. My career's stuck. And I looked at the team that was around me, and they were just friends all of a sudden. They weren't guys that had more knowledge than me. They were just people that were equals, and nothing wrong with that, but I was paying for them. So I just cut everybody loose, and I met this kid, and he's about 25 years old, and he's just like, I got an idea that we just take your stuff and we cut it up and we put it on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook and TikTok. And I'm like, okay, so I look at my numbers. I got 2,000 followers on YouTube, 5,000 followers on Instagram, 5,000 followers on Facebook, and no followers on TikTok. And within a year, we'd like 1,000%. Like now, I'm like 325,000 followers on YouTube, and I'm humble bragging, but I'm just trying to explain, like, we went from nothing to this massive following, like 600,000 on Facebook, 300,000 on Instagram, stuff like that. And with all those together, we've been able to create this kind of people that follow me and come out, and they want to meet me after watching this stuff and shake the hand, and it's been great, and I love it. I absolutely love it. I'm selling tickets and the size that I told you, but they're my people, and they're coming because they want to have fun with me. So when you say what's your plan, I just kind of I want to do that. If it gets massive, it gets massive. But these people that are coming out and having fun, and I had this kid come out last night. He goes, "Hey, just gonna let you know, I watch you on Kill Tony. Think you're fantastic. Do it more because young people love you."
Oh, that made you
So
feel good.
funny.
That made you feel
Yeah,
good.
I was just like, "Oh, stab! Oh, stab!"
Yeah.
So
Thank
yeah,
you, young prick. Fuck off.
Exactly. Tell your mom to hurry up and pick you up and get the fuck out of here. So it was just it's building. I'm loving building more and more, just building a fan base, a group of people that come out and just have fun. And yeah, I signed with an agency this year, a new agency. I went with a new management company, and I'm probably gonna sign with a group that a big group that everybody knows their name, kind of thing, that will be touring me worldwide. So it's kind of fantastic. We'll
Congrats.
see where I enjoy doing my hockey podcast. I know it's kind of niche because I'm a comedian coming into that market, so it doesn't sell like you guys sell, so I might do something that's more comedy related in a podcast and see how that goes. But yeah, just doing this and having fun, we live in Long Beach. We live near the beach, and it's a good life. So it's something that a kid from Terrace in a million years wouldn't have thought that he
Right.
would be doing.
Hey, I'm
So
in San Diego. You and I got to get together in Cali. I'm only about an hour from you, so.
I'll be in La Jolla next week. You want to come to a show?
What day?
I'll be there Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So it's the is it the 7th and 8th?
Fuck.
Would that be right?
I'm going to Bora Bora on Thursday. I'm gonna fucking miss you. That pisses me off something fierce right now.
That may be the best I've ever heard. I can come to your show. I'm going to Bora Bora.
Hey, you know, hey, listen, you can take me out of Suckassville, but you can't take the suck ass out of me. Sorry. Yeah.
I love it. In fact, what will get you out to it? We'll get you out to something. What town are you in there?
I'm in Del Mar. So my son lives in La Jolla. So you're going to the Comedy Stop right there in La Jolla. It's one of my favorite places.
Yeah.
My son lives across the street. I'm going to have my son come. He lives literally right across the street.
That's
definitely
fun.
Yes. Good area.
Ian, before we let you go, what do you think about this? Get back to hockey. What do you think about this whole Elias Pettersson and JT Miller feud? Like, to me personally, I think it's a joke. I know JT Miller when I reffed him.
Hey, we're seeing who got the better of that trade.
The guys are an asshole to deal with. Like, he may be the grumpiest man that I know that's making 10, 11 million bucks a year. Like, he's never happy. But
yeah,
you gotta get along. Like, that team is not as good without JT Miller.
It's not, it's funny what they've done, right? So they brought in two other Pettersons just so people wouldn't notice that the other Pettersons missing, right? So, which is pretty, you think you would have brought in more Millers so people wouldn't notice the other Millers missing.
But it's actually brilliant.
I think you're going to see Elias Pettersson leave Vancouver because at the end, what we talked about, it's entertainment, it's fun. He's not fun. He's going to take away from the team selling stuff, right? So everything leads back to how does it affect us financially? And at some point, him costing them that much money on contract, and then he starts to start costing them money with butts in the seats and merch. That's when you see a guy leave. And,
yeah, he's not marketable whatsoever. He's not marketable whatsoever. And I'm sorry, but he seems like a bitch. Like he complains, like when he doesn't feel good or he doesn't not getting the attention that he has, that he just doesn't show up because he's been terrible.
Resting bitch face at all times, right?
Like, he's been terrible since JT Miller got traded. JT Miller's killing it in New York, and Elias has actually gotten worse in Vancouver. And I don't understand that mentality. I'm good friends with Rick Tocchet, and I feel bad for him because that guy just wants to win. That guy is a warrior, and winning the Coach of the Year last year was not a fluke for that guy. And I'm sure he is up to here watching Elias play.
Yeah, when I first seen him, I'm like, oh, this kid's fantastic. But then all of a sudden, he wasn't, you know. I don't know. Here's the problem. Miller has asked to leave Vancouver before, right? So he obviously wanted to go, even though he was having a good time there. He's from the East Coast. He wants to go play on the East Coast. So they made it happen. Somehow that whole thing with Pettersson it's just affected the whole team. It's just like, it's just a rain cloud over that whole team. Right.
So I can't imagine, and I'm just speculating cause I don't know, but I can only imagine that the guys in that locker room would much rather have a conversation or be around a JT Miller or play behind a JT Miller that, you know, is going to go to the wall for you hard. Is going to battle hard. Is going to be in your face hard rather than Pettersson. So I'm sure no wonder why the team has kind of got a little bit of a letdown, because they traded away a heart and soul player.
Right. I think if they should have done it was traded them both at the same time. Right. All right. We're going to do the New York deal. Let's find a place for Pettersson now. As soon as that happens, both go right. That way it just cleans the slate for the whole team. Right. I don't know why they decided because it's kind of like being in a family, right? If this kid gets punished but this kid doesn't,
right,
the other kids are like, why?
Yeah,
right. So I that's the mistake I think they made.
I love that you wear I think you had a Nordique t-shirt on the other day. Yeah, you've
I
got
sure did.
the Hockey Night in Canada t-shirts.
Yeah, I love it. Free swag, bud.
I love free. Hey, listen, you know what the great thing is? I'm glad you brought that up, Peels, because I always get really excited when I see people with the old Nordique logo or the old Hartford Whaler logo, right? Those classic logos make me excited. And when I saw the Nordique logo on you, Ian, on your set, I was like, fucking rights, representing.
Not to put you on the spot, but I'm going to. What's the fun, like, is that I could tell so many of your jokes because I watch them all, but what's the funniest thing that's happened maybe in the last week or two where you're like, this is fun, I'm killing it here tonight, like, because you pick out people. And
Last of the
I saw one clip today. You're like, how'd you meet your wife? And he goes, well, she had big titties.
No, I like the one with the kid with the hat. He said, "Are you cold or just cancer?" Just go
I
after
love
it.
it. Yeah, just like I got to figure it out here. I got to know what I'm dealing with here. I need to know if you're just freezing or if we need to keep an eye on you. You know, I mean, if
So
we need
good.
fluids during this, let me know. Last night I had a couple, and they were coroners, right?
Winners.
And I said, yeah, coroners. They were like, she was the head medical examiner, and he was the assistant coroner. Right, and I was just like, "Oh my God, did you guys meet over a body? Did you guys like you know?" So I find like last year I had within 6 weeks, and this is before I even put it online. I think it's online. I had three different people with fake legs, and they sent them to the front. Like I'm standing on stage with a leg, you know. So it happened in San Jose. Kentucky, the last time I was in Kentucky, and I can't remember where the other one was, but it was crazy. I was like, am I wishing this on myself? I hope there's a leg out there.
It's funny because you talk about the corners, talking about easy jokes, right? How do you guys have sex? How do you guys get in the mood for sex after a day at work? You guys must have pretty good foreplay, man. I'm telling you're that's a hard job to go home and fucking get excited about having sex after that.
I asked what kind of car they drove. I was like, do you drive a Corvette? Like you just you have that luggage rack on the back. You just put the body on and fly around town.
Ian, it was just awesome having you on, buddy. I can't thank you enough for your
Guys,
time. We
no,
wish
thank
you,
you, guys.
we wish you the best of luck. I want you to take it to the moon, man. You are so witty, and I love the fact that you're real. And you know, and listen, have that same mentality. Fuck feelings. We don't care if I hurt your feelings. We're all here to have fun, and that's
Yeah.
you exemplify that so well. That thank you for being real, man.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Thank you so much, you
Well.
guys. It's Tim. Thanks for you send so much support. It's fantastic, and thanks for having me on the pod. And we'll have you guys both out to shows. And
Yeah.
first thing I'll do is I'll point you guys out. I'll go, that guy can't make a call, and that guy's a pervert.
Bingo. Bingo.
Love
Hey, so
it,
listen,
boys.
I will make sure that my digits get sent to your phone and we're close. So let's make sure we get together. And I'm going to connect you with my son because he's got to see you next week.
Awesome. I love it. Love it, guys. Have a great week. Have fun in Bora Bora.
You know it. You know it.
Tim's got to go to a hockey tournament with his kid.
Somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to do it. I volunteer. All right, buddy. It's been
Thanks,
great. Thanks,
guys.
Ian. See you, buddy.
Oh my God, how funny, how awesome was that, JR?
Just great. I love it. He was fantastic.
That guy is awesome. He's such a good guy.
What a perfect person to have on just to have some fun, talk a little hockey,
Funny.
talk a little comedy. So well
Like,
done.
and for people that haven't seen him, you gotta see him because, like, I can't even remember. If you told me a joke now, I wouldn't be able to recite the joke in 5 in an hour. Like, I'm the worst joke teller ever. And for I just I'm amazed by these guys because they're genius.
They're just witty. It's the quick wit that makes them so special.
They're geniuses, buddy. Yeah.
Well, but I gotta run. That was a great show. Way to go. Thanks to our sponsors, Whiskey in the Wild, whiskeyinthewild.com, for the greatest whiskey of all time. Protected Net Guards, my buddy Timmy Peel. What a great thing to do for young kids. Make sure they're safe on the ice. And Bet Online. We love you, Bet Online. Let's go to Bet Online, make some money. Just make sure we don't lose it. Thank you for watching, everybody. It's a special, special episode of Snipes and Stripes right here on No Filter. We will see you next week. Take care, everyone.